Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our sermon text is our gospel lesson. I'm going to begin by saying this. It is weird to actually be back in the pulpit. Now, if you had come to church in the last 2 months, you would have noticed that I was preaching from down there, not because I'm an enthusiast and want to walk all over the stage or anything like that. It was just a matter of I only had 9 people at a time and they were all in the front pew. So now, back in the pulpit, I can see you a lot better. I'm so thankful to be able to have more people in church at once. Rather than just 9, right now we are working on 25% of occupancy, which allows you to see more faces than just mine, and isn't it great? Well, during the last 2 months, on Wednesdays, I would hold services. And my Wednesday service was always different than my Sunday service, and so you're getting a different sermon tonight than what I will preach on Sunday. Instead of Pentecost, we are celebrating the eve of Pentecost. We are observing it. We are preparing ourselves for Pentecost. Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit on the disciples. A well-known story. A beautiful story. The fact that God sends the Holy Spirit, not just proceeding from the Father, but also from the Son. In our gospel lesson from this past Thursday for Ascension, Jesus said that he would send the Helper. That Helper, of course, is the Holy Spirit. In our introit, that is our entrance song for this night, it begins with these words, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily bears us up, alleluia. God is our salvation. Awesome is God from his sanctuary." How wonderful it is for more of us to gather at a time in his sanctuary. It is truly marvelous. It is marvelous to gather together in the house that he has always promised to meet you. And not just through a screen, but in his Son's very body and blood that you will receive this night for the forgiveness of your sins. In God is our salvation. Not the media, not politicians, not fear. God is our salvation. He will never let us slip through the cracks in his hands. Rather, he holds us tightly. He clings to us, not to let us depart from him. God is our salvation. For too long, we have been so afraid. And we need to get past that fear. We need to remember that for the Christian, death is not the end. Sure, the world is afraid of death. And it should be. It's judged. But for the Christian, what comes after death is life. Life eternal with Jesus. Can it really get any better than that? And so awesome is God in his sanctuary, and awesome it is to be able to gather together with so many of you again, to be in his sanctuary, to sing out his praises, and to receive his gifts. In our epistle lesson, St. Paul writes to the Romans, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." Again, this world only seeks out gratification of the flesh. It says, do what makes you happy and feel good right now. But that is not what the Christian is called to do. That is not how the Christian is called to live. Jesus has called us out of the world. We always have a foot in it. But that is so that we can be a brighter place within it. We also have a foot outside of this world, because we know that at the last day, when Christ returns with trumpets, this world will pass away, and the new heavens and the new earth will be created, and we will dwell body and soul for eternity. do not live according to the desires of your flesh. Because if you give in to the desires of your flesh too much, a lot of times we can close our ears and our hearts from the Holy Spirit. By closing our ears and our hearts from the Holy Spirit to gratify only our flesh, it leads down the path to damnation. Rather, he says, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. The old Adam is strong, constantly shouting at you to enjoy what makes your body feel good. Enjoy the sins of the world. Surely God wouldn't have made it this way had it not been for your pleasure. But the fact is that God did make many things for the pleasure of those children who listen to his word. And so we are called not to live by the flesh, but to live by the Spirit. The Spirit of God given to us in our baptism. The same Spirit of God who rushed upon the disciples and appeared as tongues of fire as those men prophesied the gospel of Jesus Christ and everyone heard in his own language. St. Paul writes, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You are not your own. You were bought with the price of the life of the only begotten Son of God. Because of his death and his resurrection and your baptism, you now have the full claim of inheritance of heaven. You have been adopted as sons of the Most High God to dwell with him for eternity. To receive the eternal benefits of that sonship, heaven, the eternal kingdom. And so St. Paul continues by saying, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Dear children of God, I am going to preach this to you for many weeks to come. Do not be afraid. You cannot live a total life of fear in all the things that this world will throw at you. Because if you do, you will fail to see all of the beauty that is in this world that God has created. You will fail to see the wondrousness that is God's love. The fact that God has delivered you from eternal death so that death is a sting that is lost forever. Dear children of God, be cautious, but don't fear death like the world fears death. Because there is joy that comes next. Be bold in your faith. Don't go looking for trouble. Obey the law as God has given it, but also trust him. Know that he has numbered all your days, even as he has numbered the hairs on your head, and for some of you, that might not be as many as it once was. Sorry, I had to. It's very shiny. The new lights are really helping the shine up here. All right. Anyway, but you have received the spirit of adoption. You are sons of God, and where he is, you shall be for eternity. Rejoice in that. Rejoice that you are heirs of heaven. No world, no death, no sin or the devil can take that away from you because you have received that eternal gift. Hold tightly to the faith that God has given. The Holy Spirit has worked by his gospel, preached to you and received through water, received through bread and wine, spoken to you the words of forgiveness. We are to suffer with him here on this earth. God never promised that you would have every day of happiness, but he did promise you an eternity of joy where there will be no tears, no scorching heat, no viruses, no cancer, no more death, no Alzheimer's or dementia to ravage a brain, but joy and joy eternal. So Jesus says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that we cannot follow God's commandments perfectly, but we do know that his commands are given to us for our benefit and the benefit of our neighbor. The first table of the commandments remind us of the importance of loving God, of worshiping God, that we should fear, love, and trust in him above all things. The second table reminds us how important it is to love our neighbor as ourselves, to share that love of God in Christ to the neighbor. And so we walk in these commandments, knowing that when we fall, and we will, Jesus Christ is there with his cross, pointing you to his cross to show you, dear child, you are forgiven. He says that he will dwell in you. He does not leave you as orphans. You are not fatherless. You have a father who loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son to suffer in this world and to die for you. And so rejoice. Jesus says, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The love of the Father dwells in you as you worship God. The love of the Father dwells in you as you serve and love your neighbor. As you are a good father to your children, or a good mother to your children, a good husband or wife, a good worker, a good citizen, all of these things are a part of God's plan for your life. Trust it. And remember that the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He is the helper. We have not been left abandoned to our own ways. We have been left with a helper, the Holy Spirit. Remember these words of the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in this one true faith. Dear children of God, you have not come to faith by your own volition. Rather, God has called you through his gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gathers you here this night and every Sunday and Thursday moving forward. Whenever the church gathers, it is the Holy Spirit that calls his children here, where God is dwelling in his sanctuary. And we have this trust. We have this hope. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. And lastly, a hope that rings out for eternity. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. And so this night, the church sings, come, holy fire, comfort true. Grant us the will your work to do, and in your service to abide. Let trials turn us not aside. Lord, by your power prepare each heart, and to our weakness strength impart, that bravely here we may contend, through life and death to you our Lord ascend. Alleluia, alleluia, amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.